What a prayer that is. We're praying that, God would continue to inspire us. That we would be the ones that would open up and let that Spirit do its work. Gracious and loving God, you have placed a message on my heart and inspired me with it this week. God, I pray that it makes sense when it comes out of my mouth, that others might be inspired as well. Inspired by, God, what you have done, what you are doing, and God, what you will do. As we trust and worship you, who is, who was, and will always be. So God, we open our hearts and we give you this time, and we ask that you would make of it what you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to be preaching on inspiration, and so I need your help. If there are times when you feel inspired, if there's something that gets said that you feel like shouting and cheering about, standing up and clapping for, I invite you to do that. Amen? Amen. You're already ready. Already ready to do that. I feel like, there's a speaker that comes out and there's like a hype man. Do you know what that is? A hype man? The hype man is sometimes come on, you can do better than that, and like, we gave it all we had, we'll clap again, you know. It's one of those things. But when I read the scripture today, especially from the Message, and I felt like it was preaching to me and speaking to me personally, and wanting me to speak that to others, I felt like I couldn't calm down. It was really exciting at even at 8:30, and the 8:30 crowd were like, you should have seen them. They were jumping over the pews. I mean, it was wild. I got to simmer them down, you know. Come back at 11. Show us that enthusiasm again. Yeah. I wish it was on video. We didn't have a video, but man, wow. And I know the Holy Spirit's blowing through and causing great things to happen this morning. We've been talking about this question, why church? Why do we come to church? Why are we gathered as a community of faith? We started an 8-week sermon series, and the first week was on remembering who we are and whose we are in Christ Jesus. Last week was about how we're created in the image of a Trinity that's community, that's always reaching out, always there in fellowship, and how we're called to be in fellowship with one another. And this week, why church? Because inspiration. Inspiration. And what a word that is. What a concept that is. I was wondering even how to begin speaking about inspiration. And I thought, well, we are people that come together around what we as Methodists believe is inspired word of God. There's these glimpses of what this looks like. And every time that I see this in the Bible, every time that I experience this in my life, it has to do with life. Life-giving, life-forming, and abundant life. That's what inspiration has to do with. And maybe creativity or someone's story that you hear. And that's just inspiring. Like, I feel like that could be me too if it's them. I'm catching on. It could be contagious. You look at others and you think, I want that in my life. Not just as an influence on me, but as my whole being. Like, I want to live and die for this thing. That's inspiration. It's powerful. And from the very beginning, the second chapter of Genesis, we have this God who picks up this dirt from the ground and breathes in the breath of life. And the first human becomes a living soul. And then later in the pages of the Old Testament, there's this vision that's given to Ezekiel about this valley of dry bones that he's taken to. And he sees the wind, the Spirit blow through, and life is given to these dried up bones. This inspiration happens. And then I was thinking about in the pages of the of the Old Testament, how the faith of our heroes in faith, their faith was inspiring generation after generation. And I imagine people sitting around a campfire talking about these great heroes of their faith. Noah and the ark. The stories of Abraham and his faithfulness as he left home not knowing where he was going. The stories of Moses. The stories on and on through David. And how inspired Jesus must have been around the teachers, the elders, around the campfires, around the places where these stories are told and continue to be. And then I thought maybe a way to talk about those things is to find a sermon. There is a sermon in the New Testament. And I don't know if you know this or you read it like this, but the book of Hebrews is a sermon. And when you read the Message translation of it, it's as if it's being preached today, right leaping off the page. And I started reading a little bit of it and thinking, maybe I'll pull out some folks from the Old Testament and sort of see how that fits. And I couldn't stop. So in my notes for this little section of the sermon, it says, long reading from Hebrews. So be prepared. But this is no ordinary long reading from the Bible. This is a reading that is going to need some participation. Because if pretend that you're hearing this for the first time and this is good news for you, okay? And then you're going to be like, yeah. And then it's okay. And then like on the edge of your seat. And then at the end, we're all gonna cheer. Is that cool? Is that now you know? Okay, great. All right. Okay, I'm starting here on verse 32 because already at this point, he's gone on and on for quite a while. So just shorten it up and let us get out by lunch today. I'm gonna start where he says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. And then I'm switching over to the Message translation. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Amen. Amen. Something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not what? Yeah. Man, I read that line. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? Making the way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. But not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, not one of them that got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith, not complete apart from ours. Do you see what this means? Yeah. These pioneers who blazed the way, these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Yeah? Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eye on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you yourselves, flagging in your faith, go over that story again, line by line, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Word of God for the people of God. Amen. We look to Jesus as our inspiration, the author and perfecter of our faith, and how Jesus came to bring life and life abundant. This inspiration has to do with life and creativity and life at its fullest. And Jesus said it like this in one of my favorite life verses, one that I don't even have to look up because I know it in my heart. It's this: the thief, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I came that they might have life and life to the fullest. That's why Jesus came. And so when we have a verse like this and we get to this idea that Jesus came to bring life and the thief comes to take life, to kill and destroy, you know, we have to ask ourselves again and do part of this work that what is the opposite of life and being inspired? If I'm inspired, what's the opposite? I started thinking about that this week. What's the opposite of inspired? And I thought maybe expired? I mean, it kind of would be. And I guess expired would be like dead, death, right? And whenever I come across something that's expired, I don't come across it too often, but sometimes milk. Woo! Expired milk. That would be pretty much, you know, sin and death right there, rolled into one, right? But you know, you think about it and what is not inspiring would be maybe not that far as expired. Maybe you would think of the opposite as being uninspired. Anybody ever battle with being uninspired? I know I do. I know I do. I saw a image of a computer that was being built back in the 60s, and it said that maybe by the 1990s, everyone will have a computer in their home. And I got out my phone. It said all the information in the world at your fingertips. And I got out my phone, and I hit a little button, and I said, "What is inspiration?" And it told me right then. It spoke right to me. And I thought, that's kind of neat. But then I walked past, I was taking a hike, and it's beautiful outside. And I walked past a class of kids, and they're all in middle school, and they're on the field trip. And there they were. And you know how inspired those kids were? I don't know. They were all looking at their phones. I don't know if they were inspired or not. And I looked up, and there's like birds singing around, and they're like, "Winter's here. This is nice. Take a hike." You know, inspiring you to do, you know, other things than look at your phone. You know, and I just think about this uninspired bit, and I think about how we have to let go of the things that don't inspire us and breathe in again and be inspired again. Because just like hurt people hurt people, you know, inspired people inspire other people. Our friend Pastor Jermaine's having her knee worked on tomorrow. And by worked on, I mean replaced. And there's a doctor that she has that works on knees. And she's telling me that he loves what he does. He's inspired. He caught that from somebody. He was fascinated by it, and it wasn't just a thing. He gave his life to this craft of making people feel like they can walk again and to actually do it. I think of that inspiration, and we'll be praying for you tomorrow morning when you go in and have your knee worked on. And we think about how we are inspired by others. I have another friend, I hope they're maybe watching online, but I have a doctor friend who is married to a guy, and his dad was a doctor. And she began to study with his dad, and she got inspired and became a doctor. It's becoming what you are inspired by, you know. And if we look to Jesus in that, then we're inspired in a whole different way. And so we think about this question, why church? Well, it's because we're inspired by this living word, and we want to inspire others as well. We want that to be contagious and to be shared. There's this beautiful passage at the end of John's gospel where Jesus does this literally. He breathes onto the disciples. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite things about church is growing up and hearing these stories, but not just stories from the Bible. It's stories from others that I get the chance to be in community with. I'm so inspired by people in the church that share their faith. I visited with a good friend. She's here today, and I asked her about how she got to the church when I first met her, and she told me this story. She said, "Well, I was already 50 by the time I came to church." I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, when I was little, my dad died, and I turned my back on God, and I didn't want anything to do with it." And I said, "Well, that's so inspiring that you know, is vulnerable enough to say that out loud and to say I was really distant for a long time." But then the thing about her story that was so inspiring is she prayed this prayer of humility and vulnerability, and she said, "God, my life is a mess." She had hit a place where she said, I'm not able to do this anymore. God, my life is a mess. Help." She said that the next morning, everything had changed. She said she felt the Spirit in a whole new way. She said she began to go to church, and it was this church that she found, a community of faith that she was able to grow in. But her story didn't stop there. She went and visited the people that she had needed forgiveness from, and she asked them for forgiveness. She said most of them forgave her, and she moved on with life. And as she's telling me the story, I became inspired by it, and just how God moves in the lives of others. I'm inspired by that, and I hope you are too. And I'm inspired by people that give their lives to something. I especially teachers. This season, teachers have been so inspiring to me. We have teachers here at our day school, and I had this one teacher that came to me this past week, and I was so glad she did. She said, "I've been praying for this kid." I said, "What do you mean?" I was inspired already. She got me like, "Yeah, you got kids and you're praying for them and you're involved in their lives? Come talk to me." She talked to me about it. She said, "But this one kid, he gets really upset when the other dads come, and I wondered about his dad. And then the kid will say these strange things, like when an airplane flies over, he'll say, 'Maybe my dad's coming home.'" And she did some digging, and it turns out that his dad's in Afghanistan. And she said, "Will you, Pastor Dan, will you pray that his dad comes home?" And I said, "Well, sure." We prayed right then that his dad would come home. And then she said, "You know, on whenever it fits in your calendar, could you come and maybe spend some time with him and get to know the kid?" I said, "I'd love to. How about Friday?" I put it on my calendar. And I was on the way to speak to the kid that day. I kept it in my calendar. It's important stuff. I want to meet this kid. And then I get an email on the way to meet him. And she's like, "Our prayers have been answered. And his dad came home last night from Afghanistan." And it was like, our prayers have been answered. And so we were just so excited about that. And I thought about how inspiring that is, that you know, in these little simple ways that you have a chance to pray for those that you know and see and be touched by their stories. That's why church for me. And church has been a place where we gather and we say, you know, it's not just me. It's not me and my, you know, strength or might. It's from going through really tough times and knowing that I can't do it alone, and trusting in God and seeing others around me that trust in God and give me that same Spirit. People that have loved and lost and lost people to things like cancer and sickness and still have a faith that's resilient, still have a faith that trusts in resurrection. Sometimes it takes a long time, and we trust in that slow work, but we continue to be inspired because inspired people inspire other people. I was going to land the plane there and get us out at lunch, I had a few other prayers, a few other things that I wanted to say. I wanted to maybe talk about the inspiration in Philippians 4, where Paul says, if there's anything good, noble, trustworthy, think about those things. I thought about lots of different ways to kind of wrap up. And then this morning, when I saw my friend come into church, I threw all that stuff out the window because I think it's important. And I think that God puts things together sometimes at just the right time. I'm so proud of so many people that have been inspired and how lives are changed. But one guy that's always sort of stood out in my mind as a bright light has been my friend Joe. And I'm going to bring him up this morning to say just a few words about inspiration. My friend Joe, I met him years ago, back actually when I was still at Northern Hills on my way to Green. I met him at Green, and then he's over time he's had these birthdays, and I know several other friends have celebrated these birthdays. But Joe called me last week, and he said, "Pastor Dan, I want you to know it's been 5 years that I've been sober." And it's because of the inspiration of others, and I know that, and I know that Joe had. Early on in his sobriety, he saw a presentation of testimonies from people that have remained steadfast in their sobriety for years. And Joe said, "I'm not going to let anybody down. I'm not going to let my pastors down. I'm going to continue to press forward. I'm going to be one of those old men talking about how many years it's been." And so I have his permission to do this. I just want you to hear a few words from Joe this morning. I told Joe to give us the short version because he's got a really beautiful long story of God's grace and salvation. So Joe, would you say a few words this morning? It's completely unplanned. I know that God's brought him here for a reason. So this is our friend Joe. Got him. Oh, switches. I'll get it right here.
Give me the bone. Good morning. First, these are tears of joy because on January 14th, 2017 is when I found God. I was in the depths of hell with drug addiction, and I couldn't free myself from that. One day, I was ambushed and left for dead. They beat me, and they robbed me of my drugs. They left me for dead. The next morning, I woke up, and I said, "God, whatever you want me to do, I will do if you can save me from this depths of hell that I'm living with my drug addiction." I went to Green United Methodist Church. I was homeless at the time. I would even go take showers over at the Green United Methodist Church. I go for food. I had no food. I was living a horrible life. I was lost, completely lost. Let's go back to my childhood. I never knew God. I never knew God because my parents never took me to church. But I can't blame that. I got to move on. So then I remember Pastor Melissa used to say, "Joe, you keep on coming to church, but you never come in. You just look in the door." So I said, "You know what? I'm going to take a shot." I see all these people going out, and I got to know a lot of good folks. And I was truly blessed because 5 years ago, I met Pastor Dan. And it's funny because I'm from New Braunfels. He was from San Antonio, going to New Braunfels. And then I met him over there. Now we live in San Antonio. I live in a sober living house. I'm a senior member in this house. And I help drug addicts and alcoholics find a new way of life. You replicate. These have been the most amazing 5 years of my life. I have grandkids that my kids wouldn't let me see. They said, "Dad, you got so much meth in your body that when you touch our kids, the meth goes through your pores," which is true. And I'd cry because I couldn't see my grandkids. Now they're calling me every weekend, "Where's Grandpa, Grandpa?" I got my family back because I gave my life to God. You know what? I'm 60 years old. I found God at 55. I got clean at 55. But God has given me like a new life. He's forgiven me. He's made a new creation in me. It's like I learned how to let go and let God. Simple. People complicate their lives, and I see it every day. You just got to believe. If two things I'm learning right now at my age is that I have faith and I'm learning patience. Because people are always in a hurry to get what they want when they want. No. When God's ready to bless me, I'm good with that. He didn't bring me this far for nothing. There's a reason I'm here. Maybe to help all these other drug addicts. There is a lot of problem with the drug addiction right now. And maybe that's my calling. And my inspiration started, one of the folks that's part of my journey is Pastor Dan. I mean, I'm truly grateful for meeting such a great man of God. I love you guys. And you know what? And I'm going to leave you with this. Every morning that I pray, every morning I pray for Colonial Hills Methodist Church. And Green. But I truly love you guys. God bless you. Thank you.
Man, thank you, Joe. Love you, buddy. Love you, buddy. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Doing ministry with Joe in under the bridge. We spent lots of Saturdays doing that. And the thing is, inspired people inspire other people. People would see Joe and they would see him as a lighthouse. They would know that he'd done all those drugs. He managed to have something more special than anything that anybody else could give him. He'd been there. He'd been down in the hole, you know, and he knew a way out, and that was through the love of a Savior. It's a story that's inspiring to me. I wanted to share that. And I wanted to close with just saying this. I've been talking now for too long. Sorry. And I've been preaching and being a pastor for enough years to where I've done a lot of celebrations of life. And it's not my favorite thing to do, but I love celebrating, and I love a faith that is beyond death. And in celebrations of life, I always ask the family about those things about this person that we love that have been inspiring. And it's always the love that they had, the way that they shared this, the way they were as a mom or a dad, the way that they loved. That's inspiring. And then I always kind of ask this question, what would they want for you? How would they want you to live? And when you think about that and how those faithful that have gone on to be with Jesus and what they would want from you and for your life, that's a whole nother depth of inspiration. They would want you to live life to the fullest. To be inspired and to inspire others. In Jesus' name, as we look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.